إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الثاني، اليوم الثاني من ربيع الأول 333 و400 للهجرة. الدرس الثامن. This is class number 8 on the 2nd of ربيع الأول of the year 1433 of the هجرة. شرح الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة, the explanation of important lessons for all Muslims. We'll continue inshallah ta'ala talking about the second pillar of the pillars of Islam, إقام الصلاة, establishing the prayers. In the previous class we was mentioning the, and the Sheikh actually was reading some effects of the salat and virtues of the prayer and the like, in the light of the Shaykh bringing ayats and ahadith. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, and that's the last thing we stopped at and we're going to repeat it inshallah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, whoever wishes to meet Allah tomorrow as a Muslim, then let him carefully guard these five prayers when they are called for. Indeed, Allah has legislated for your prophet ways of guidance, and the prayers are from the ways of guidance. Were you to pray in your homes as this person does, who remains behind in his home, and this is for men, as we mentioned that women, it's okay for them to pray at home. That's better actually, but it's okay for them to pray at the house, at the masjid. He says, radiallahu anhu, were you to pray in your homes as this person does, who remains behind in his home, then you would have left the way of your prophet. And if you were to leave the way of your prophet, you would have gone astray. There is not a man who purifies himself and purify himself well, and then heeds to a masjid among these masajids, except that for each step he takes, Allah writes for him a good deed, raises him one rank, and removes his sin from him. I remember, this is Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the great companion, still saying, I remember that during previous times, that no one would remain behind from the congregation in prayer except for the one who was known to be a hypocrite. Even the sick man was brought to the prayer. He was helped from in between two men until he was made to stand in the row. Recorded by Imam Muslim. Al-Khushu'. The khushu' in the salat is very important. What is khushu'? Which is to have the heart that is present and reflective, and to be steadfast in the prayer is one of the means of achieving paradise. So once again, how khushu' is important, because it is not enough for a person to stand up and pray. Yes, that's what we're commanded to do. But it's not just by the body. Your body standing and you're making moves for ruku' and sujood. But then in the same time your heart is not with you, still thinking about other stuff. You gotta concentrate on what you say, on what you're reciting. Because you're standing in front of Allah and you are performing one of the greatest of acts of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the first 11 ayats in chapter 23. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. Successful indeed are the believers. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Shaykh bin Sa'di and others, they says, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the believers. And he mentioned that they are successful. And he mentioned to us what made them successful. Okay? So that he says we will pay attention to these things that made them successful so that we can do the same. And this is how you know if you're successful, by seeing if you're doing these things. Successful indeed are the believers, those who have khushu' in the salah. See, that's the first thing. See how important khushu'? Success. You can't be praying and looking all over the place, and whenever somebody comes late in the salah, you want to know who he is. No, you don't mind. You don't care who's coming late and who's not. Unless if somebody stands next to you, that's something else. But as soon as you hear the door of the masjid is open, now you want to know who's coming. And some people, they even turn back to see who's coming. This is not right. Your heart has to be in the salat. You're praying like you're by yourself. Yes, you're praying with the jama'ah, but you're praying in a manner that nothing around you will bother you. Your focus. And your heart reflects upon what you read, or if the imam is reciting, you reflect upon what he's reciting. Successful indeed are the believers, those who have khushu' in their salat, and those who turn away from al-laghu. What is al-laghu? All dirty, false, evil, vain talk, falsehood, and all that has forbidden, Allah has forbidden. Sheikh bin Sa'di also, he says, all that which have no benefit. You can't just be talking about things that have no benefit to you. And those who pay the zakat, and those who guard their chastity, except for their wives, or the captives and slaves that their right hands possess. For then, they are free from blame. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors. Also, the believers are those, the successful ones are those who are faithfully true to their trusts and to their covenants, and those who strictly guard their prayers. See how Allah mentioned prayers twice? He began with it and finished with it in here. These, meaning those who do these things and have these characteristics, these are indeed the inheritors. What they're going to inherit, Allah says, who shall inherit the Firdaus, paradise. They shall dwell therein forever. Shaykh ibn Sa'di rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he says, and he mentioned a hadith, al-Firdausu a'la al-jannah wa wasat al-jannah wa minhu tatafajjaru anharu al-jannah wa fawqahu arshu al-Rahman. Shaykh ibn Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentioned a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ says, Firdaus is the highest level of Jannah, and the middle of it. And from it gush off all the rivers of the Jannah. And above it is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. Sincerity to Allah in prayer and performing it according to the way it came to us in the Sunnah, these are two fundamental conditions for one's prayer to be accepted. And this is not just for the Salah, this is for every deed, every action, for it to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit its doer, then he has to fulfill these two conditions, ikhlas wal mutaba'ah. Sincerity, meaning that it's supposed to be performed only for Allah. A person may stand and cry and this and this. What may and you say about that person? Nothing. Because we don't know what that person is crying. Nobody can say, yeah, he's crying because he's or she is showing off, and nobody can say they're doing it for Allah. We hope, as Muslims, should think good about their brothers. We hope that they were doing it for the sake of Allah, but we cannot say that they're not. Because sincerity is from the actions of the heart. And only Allah knows in the intentions that the people have. But we know what we're doing it for. When you do something, you know why you're doing it for. So you need to correct yourself. So these are two conditions that are very important for the acceptance of every action, especially the prayer. Sincerity, ikhlas, mutaba'ah, following the Prophet ﷺ. It has to be done according to the Sunnah. And both have to be met, because sometimes you find a person, yes, sincere, mashallah, but then they don't do it according to the Sunnah. That's not good. Sometimes you find a person doing it according to the Sunnah, but they are not sincere. Still, that's not good for them. Some people, they are not sincere and they are not doing according to the Sunnah. That's even worse. But all these three levels are no good. The only one that is good is that you have to be sincere, and also you got to be in according to the Sunnah, which of course you got to learn now. For your prayer, you need to learn. That's the only way you're going to know if you're doing it according to the Sunnah or not. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned the two hadiths. To support these two conditions, sincerity and mutaba'a, following the Sunnah. As for sincerity, then the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. Quoted by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. This is the first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and also the first hadith in the four hadith of Imam al-Nawawi. Indeed, deeds, meaning actions of worship, are by intentions, judged by intentions. And for each one is that which he intended. Everybody will be rewarded by Allah according to their intentions. You may find a person doing a lot of things, and the people say, Subhanallah, that's a good brother, this is a good sister. But they're doing all this, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah. But then, Alhamdulillah, but if the most important, more important than what the people thinking about them, is that, are they doing it for the sake of Allah? Because if they are not doing it for Allah and for other purpose, then subhanAllah, they are not going to get nothing with Allah. So it doesn't matter how much people do, but they have to be careful to what they are doing it for. That's why one of the scholars of Islam says, رُبَّ عَمَلٍ صَغِيرٍ كَبَّرَتْهُ النِّيَّةِ وَرُبَّ عَمَلٍ كَبِيرٍ صَغَرَتْهُ النِّيَّةِ. So you may find that a person perform an action of worship for him or for other people is small, very small. It's very small in the eyes of others. But because of that person's good intentions, he make that action huge with Allah in reward. Huge, big. And the opposite is true. Somebody may do something big. The people are talking about it. Oh, you see what he did? This is nice. Allahu Akbar. I can't believe it. All that money he put down. Allahu Akbar. But that big action in the eyes of the people may be little in reward because of the intention behind it. The intention is very important. And as for the proof that we have to pray in accordance to the Sunnah, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, pray as you have seen me praying. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahu wa ta'ala has a whole book on the prayers based on this hadith. The Prophet's prayer described as you see it. Then the Shaykh bin Baz rahimahu wa ta'ala, he says, there are many great virtues of performing prayer in congregation, in the mosque. Furthermore, doing so is compulsory, obligatory upon men and women. Women, is not obligatory upon them to go to the masjid and pray every salat. The best place for them is home. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, As-salatu jama'atan afdalu min salati al-fadhi bi-27 daraja. The congregational prayer is superior to the individual prayer by 27 degrees. By 27 degrees. It's agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. On one occasion, according to the agreed upon hadith, the Prophet ﷺ intended to burn the houses of men who remained behind instead of going to pray in congregation. In that narration, because the Shaykh didn't bring it, but just give you a summary of it. The Prophet ﷺ, he says he was about to, you know, assign someone from the companions to lead the prayer at each time, while he, with other, Prophet ﷺ with other companions, go and burn some houses that some men, they pray in those houses. It's not like they don't pray. They pray, but they don't come to the masjid. But that which made the Prophet ﷺ not do that, because those homes have women, children, elderly, sick people, that praying in a masjid with the jama'ah is not obligatory upon them. And in this hadith also, the Prophet ﷺ said, من سمع النداء فلم يأتي فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر. Whoever hears the call to prayer, the adhan, but does not come to the masjid to pray, then there is no prayer for such a person, unless that person has an excuse, valid excuse. And it was recorded by Ibn Majah, Ad-Darqutni, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hakim with an authentic chain of narration. Sheikh says that this hadith indicates the elevated status of congregational prayer in Islam. Also, from the many narrations and the things that show the nobility and the importance and the status, the high status of Salat in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ ordered the one who did not have tranquility in his prayer to repeat it. This man, he prayed, but the Prophet ﷺ told him to go and pray again because he didn't have the tranquility in the Salat. Can't be moving all over the place, checking stuff. No, you got to be calm steadfast, humble. The congregational prayer is a manifestation of equality, brotherhood, and organization. All Muslims turn toward the direction of the sacred Kaaba when they pray. And that's true. You see people outside driving Muslims. This driving Mercedes, this doesn't drive, doesn't have a car. This person, when he go to eat, he's gonna go to this, buy expensive stuff. This man cannot buy expensive. But then when they come to the masjid and pray, they all pray next to each other. Alright? It's not like in the masjid, the first row or two rows is only for the rich people, and the second row or third is for the other. No. In the masjid, people are equal. A poor person come early and he sits in one spot, nobody can move him. Nobody can move him just because he's rich. Come on. No. If it's done, that's ignorance. And that's go against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the sunnah is that whoever come first and sit in a place in the masjid, nobody can tell him, oh, listen, you don't have a lot of money, you're not rich, go back. No, can't do that. Right? Maybe in a plane, somebody didn't pay for a first class, but then as soon as he get in the plane, and he look at all these big seats, and he sit in one of them, and then later on they came and they like, let me see your ticket, yeah, but you didn't pay for this. Sorry, sir, you gotta go in the back. They go in the back, but not in the masjid of Allah, because nobody pay for their tickets or places in the house of Allah. All the Muslims are equal, and that's good for the Muslims. So those who have money, they humble themselves. Those who drive better cars and go to better places and live in better homes, but once they came to the masjid, it should tell them, listen man, when it comes to the house of Allah, you're no better, man. You can't be better if you come early. You cannot come late and still be better than somebody who came early. It doesn't matter. Yes, you may drive a better car, you may have a better job, have more money, you live in a better house. But listen, man, once you step in the house of Allah, you're no better. Unless you make yourself better by what? By taqwa of Allah. By coming early. By humbling yourself and the like. And also it is good for the poor person. Because in the house of Allah he see that the one who has money has no virtue over him. Except by the way of taqwa. Except by the way of taqwa. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ faced a difficulty matter, he would hasten to pray. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 153, Istainu bis-sabri was-salah, seek help in patience and the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ used to say to Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna biha, O Bilal, give us comfort by it. And why Bilal is mentioned? Because Bilal, he was the Mu'addin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When praying, one is sure to find comfort and peace in his heart, body and soul, for he is standing before his Lord, protector and guardian. After mentioning these narrations and ayats about the virtue of the prayers, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala went to bring another point, the ruling regarding those who abandon the prayer. So that a person shouldn't be, you know, negligent with his prayer. A great evil is perpetrated by many of those who claim to be Muslims when they abandon the prayer. Sheikh says, for abandoning the prayer is disbelief. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, بين الرجل والكفر أو الشرك ترك الصلاة. Between the man and disbelief or shirk is abandoning the prayer. The ulama, they says, meaning between a man and that man falling into shirk or disbelief is abandoning the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ also said, العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The covenant between us and them is the prayer. Whoever leaves it has indeed disbelieved. Sheikh says, Rahimahullah, because the prayer is the support for Islam, and because there is no religion of Islam for the person who abandons it. Because the prayer is the support of Islam, Amudul Islam. And because there is no religion of Islam for the person who abandons the prayer. The one who abandons the prayer most likely has abandoned all other religious duties as well. Abandoning the prayer is one of the actions that lead to entering the hellfire. Not praying, okay, is one of the actions that lead the people to enter the hellfire, al-iyadu billah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the wrong doors, the evil doors, when in the day of judgment he said to them, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ إِلَى الْمُصَلِّينَ. What has caused you to enter hell? Those who enter hell on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they be asked, what caused you to enter hell? What they will say, we were not of those who used to offer the prayers. SubhanAllah. Surah Al-Muddathir, chapter 74, ayah 42 and 43. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And perform a salat, the prayer, and be not of the polytheists, mushrikeen. Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, ayah 31. And also Allah Almighty says, وَأَنْ أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And to perform the prayer and to be obedient to Allah and fear Him, and it is He to whom you shall be gathered. Surah Al-An'am, verse 72. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن تَابُوا فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. But if they repent, performs the prayer and give zakat, then they are your brethren, like your brothers in the religion. Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah 11. Establishing the prayer then is made as a condition for repentance to be accepted and for entering Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اُرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. Woe that day to the deniers of the day of resurrection, And when it is said to them, bow down yourselves in prayer, they do not do so. They bow not down. The Shaykh says, in our time, you find a lot of people are negligent and they lazy and they neglect their prayers. And it has become very common for one to pray the Fajr prayer after the sun has risen. And we seek protection with Allah. And then the Shaykh says, one way to forsake the prayer is to not pray in congregation, even though one is able to do so. Because when a person prays in congregation, alhamdulillah, he sees his brothers and they help him and strengthen him. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man sami'a an-nida'a falam yujib fala salata lahu." Whoever hears the call to prayer but does not answer it, then there is no prayer for him. This narration, we read one before it that says, "Illa min udrin," except if a person have a valid excuse. Not the person come up with his own excuse, but a person, if he think he have an excuse, he should ask the people of knowledge if this is to make sure if what he thought is a valid excuse not to come to the masjid, it is or not. You gotta find out from those people that Allah grant them knowledge, the ulama, the scholars of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ also said, "La salata li jari al-masjid illa fi al-masjid." There is no prayer for the neighbor of the masjid except in the masjid. The Shaykh says the neighbor of the masjid is the one who hears the call to prayer. That's a neighbor of the masjid. He hears the adhan. In yet another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "من سمع النداء فلم يجب صب في أذنيه الأنوك الأنوك يوم القيامة." Whoever hears the call to prayer but does not answer it, on the day of judgment, molten lead will be poured into his ear. That's very painful. The only person who remains behind not performing prayer in congregation is the hypocrite, just as Ibn Mas'ud said earlier. If a person is able to come to the masjid, person hears the adhan, doesn't have a valid reason, they're not very sick or something like that, this is the characteristics of the hypocrites. The hypocrites, they were lazy to come to prayer. As for the believer, he should love to go to the prayer because this is good for him. Another way to be neglectful in prayer is to pray in a hasty manner, praying quickly. Can't do that. You gotta make sure. And what's gonna help us not to do these mistakes is to learn how the Prophet ﷺ pray. We learn it, and that's what we do, alhamdulillah, in these classes, so that when we pray correctly. And that's true. Anything you want to do in your life, you have to learn how to do it right. Because you can't do it quickly, it's not going to be good. I give you an example. You put clothing in a machine, washer, the washer to be washed. And you know that it takes 15 minutes to just one cycle to finish, then the spinning cycle, then this. It takes like what? At least half an hour for it to finish. But somebody just put it there, as soon as they get wet, 2 minutes later he take them off. No, they still not clean. Give you another example. you have a recipe for a nice cake, and then they tell you when you put the cake in the oven, you gotta put it at 400 degrees for a half an hour. Somebody just put it there, 2 minutes later says, okay, let's get the cake. Do you have a cake? I have no cake. It's not done yet. So you're gonna take your time, don't be hasty, be nice, and do it the right way. Some men, they precede the imam from one part of the prayer to the next. They bow down before the imam. They prostrate before the imam. Because they don't have no calmness in the prayer. They hasty. If they have this calmness and they reflecting upon the salat, and then alhamdulillah, they will not precede the imam. They will always follow him as the Prophet ﷺ commands us. This is the state of the one who tries to precede the imam. He is neither praying alone nor following his imam. And his forelocks are in the hands of the shaitan. This hastiness prevents one from having a wakeful heart during prayer. And having a wakeful heart is the fruit and soul of prayer, without which the prayer is not accepted. Khushu', you gotta have khushu'. That makes a big difference. As for the conditions and pillars of prayer, we will discuss them insha'Allah ta'ala in details in ensuing chapters. As we mentioned to you before, yes, this is only a general and a brief, you know, illustration on these pillars, especially this pillar of insha'Allah ta'ala, the Shaykh he will bring insha'Allah ta'ala, the Shaykh he will bring a detailed information on the prayers, the pillars, conditions, pillars and the like. This insha'Allah ta'ala will come after the Shaykh finish talking about the rest of the pillars of Islam, the zakat, the fasting, the hajj, and then the Shaykh will go back in details to talk about tawheed, about shirk and the like, and then he will go and talk about details about the prayer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge from its proper sources, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which coupled with righteous actions, Allah grant us sincerity and ikhlas in everything we do and we say, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in this life and in the hereafter from the punishment of the hellfire, and allow us to be from the people of inherit the Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid the Muslims, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify their affairs and guide them to the path and unify them upon the sunnah, the book and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the way of salaful ummah, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.